We talk a great deal about busyness today, and our world is frenetic. How do we make sense of God in this 21st century world with all of its pressures? So over the next 3 weeks, I want to try to help us. I've got three topics: stopping, Sabbath, and time. Now we'll see from the life of Jesus how it works, and how most of the time it doesn't work for us. And I certainly don't want to make light of this topic, because it's not easy, and I know it's a huge struggle for most of us. So we're thinking about, how do you get the balance into your life so that you are living with God, doing what God wants you to do, and not getting worn out? Now, I see the Christian life as a long haul. In my case, it's been for over 40 years. So knowing how to live with God is crucial to inward peace and fruitfulness. When we think of the Christian life, people often say it's a journey. It might be helpful to us to think about that as a journey for ourselves. For some of you, you've been on the journey, of course, longer than others. Now, maybe I can just reflect for a moment or two on my own journey at various stages in my own life. And as I can remember it, what was true for me then, and what was true in relation to God and my Christian service. And perhaps as we look at these particular age groups, you might say, well, where was I at that age group? What was happening for me? So first of all, we have Peter as a child. I know he's such a handsome young boy there. At this stage, I believed in God and I attended church. I had very little idea of what it was to live for Christ. I loved football, I loved athletics, and I loved girls. They loved me too, actually. Anyway, Peter at 19. I'm the one that's looking like Napoleon. I had a very clear idea that I wanted to pursue the Christian life. I knew that I was called to be a church leader, but didn't know when that would start. I was discovering who I am. I had the ability to make people laugh. I wasn't sure what I was capable of. So here's Peter at 33. Father of two, knew I was in the right job, had to learn about working in a team and sharing myself, tried to carry more responsibility than God wanted me to. I think I know the reasons for that now, but that's too long to explain. Fairly task-orientated, strong desire to achieve. What about Peter at 51? I'd recently started at Purdy Baptist Church, two churches behind me, not needing to prove anything to anyone, but exceedingly committed to furthering the kingdom of God. Secure in Christ. Far better at working with people. Even more committed to wanting other people to do well in Christ. Today we're thinking about stopping. I'll explain what that means in a moment. But unless we have two things in place, we won't stop well. The first is that we need to trust God. Otherwise, we'll be anxious people, and we'll never think that we're going to fit everything into its place. So trusting God helps us to stop. And the second thing is a better understanding of time. The world's understanding is the one which dominates us. But what's the correct understanding of time? We'll get to that in a couple of weeks' time. Now, you might be wondering, what's all this got to do with John chapter 4 this morning? Well, there is a connection. We'll get there in a moment. First of all, let's just think about learning to rest. Learning to rest. The secrets which we are to learn are how to rest in God and to do the things that God wants us to do. For me, this is the key thoughts. If we get nothing else over the next 3 weeks, this is the key thoughts. How do we rest in God to do the things that God wants us to do? I suppose all of us would agree that we have enough time to do the things that God wants us to do. The reason that we don't feel we have got enough time is because often we are doing things that God never intended for us to do, for a variety of different reasons. Now, the reason that I'm speaking about these three topics is that a few months ago, I was at a minister's fraternal, a time when ministers get together. And we did a lot of things on that morning, but there was also a speaker for a little while, and he mentioned these three points, not saying a great deal about them, but he mentioned these three points of stopping, resting and time. And I thought, I need to think about that and develop them into a short series. And so we've got to that point now, and this is what's happening. The speaker that morning was a chap called Tony Horsfall. And I purchased one of his books, which is called Working from a Place of Rest. Working from a Place of Rest. And that's a good book. You may want to look at it yourself sometime. And he began with a verse from today's reading, which is John 4 and verse 6. And here it is on the screen. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. How interesting, I thought. Jesus is tired from his journey. So here's Jesus on a journey. For him, on that occasion, it was from Judea through to Galilee. Judea is the south, Galilee is the north of Israel. And in order to get to Galilee, you have to pass through Samaria. And lots of Jews, because they didn't get on with Samaritans, they used to go on a different route, and they went round the side so they didn't have to pass through Samaria. But Jesus decided that he would take the more direct route, and he gets to Jacob's well. Now, what we immediately discover, that on Jesus' journey, he is tired. And if you want proof that Jesus is human, in the passage that we've read today, we see three things about Jesus. He's tired, he's hungry, and he's thirsty. So Jesus takes a break, and he sends his disciples off for some food. So let's understand that Jesus stops. It's clear that we also have permission to stop. Now, it's not simply stopping to switch off from everybody else and from life and from God. We see clearly from the rest of the story that Jesus didn't do that. While he's resting, he's approached by a woman and he begins to share life-changing information with her. I ask myself, wait a minute, Jesus is tired. Perhaps he could just spend a couple of minutes chatting, passing the time of day, and then just excuse himself. I might have done that. But no, we see something about Jesus here, that he's living out of a place of rest. He's tired, but he's living out of a place of rest. It was truly a life-changing conversation for this woman. And most of us will know she returns to her village. And then Jesus spends the next 2 days in a sort of mini revival. It would appear that Jesus is not slave to his schedule. He didn't check his diary to say, in 2 hours' time, I need to be talking to so-and-so. I can't stay with these people any longer. He knew that this was on God's agenda for him. So he stays put, and as a result, wonderful things happen. So to summarize, whilst Jesus is taking a rest, he meets a woman, which turns into a ministry situation. Actually, it becomes more than just a conversation because an entire village is affected. Now, I said at the beginning this was complicated. And you might think, well, surely there are times when we just rest and catch up. Of course there are. But I want to go back to that first thought. We all have enough time to do what God wants us to do. Now, Tony Horsfall, in his book, shares 3 things that we are doing when we stop. 3 things that we are doing when we stop. Just want to share those with you in the next few minutes. The first one is that we are affirming who we are. We are affirming who we are. On this long haul journey, we need to know that we are loved by God and that we are as significant as anyone else. Someone was saying to me in the last couple of weeks that because they come from quite a working class background and they work now very closely with someone who is from a sort of middle upper class background, they have felt in the relationship quite inferior. But they are learning to discover who they are in God. And God is teaching them that their identity comes not from their upbringing or their job or what they can do for God. It comes from God being their Father, and that we are loved and accepted by Him. So when we stop, it's a good time to remember and affirm who we are. I am not better than any of you, but I am not worse than any of you. I am loved by God just as you are. And I am massively accepted by Him in Jesus. Just let it keep trickling into your soul, because it's the place of real rest. So when we stop, we know that we are affirmed by God. A bit longer on this second point. When we stop, we are clarifying why we are here. We're clarifying why we are here. As well as knowing our identity, we also need to know something of our destiny. When we stop, the Lord reminds us of the things that we are supposed to be doing, and also reminds us of the things that we are not supposed to be doing. What's on God's agenda for us? Saying no to people is very difficult for some of us. What might help us to say no? A few things on the screen here. Well, first of all, to know our priorities. Do you know what you're here for? Over the years, I've discovered what are my main priorities. I know why I'm here. And that helps me to say yes to some things and no to others. It doesn't stop me putting the chairs out. It doesn't help me stop me doing little practical jobs. Have I got 5 minutes before the service starts? I don't think these things are beneath me. But basically, I know what my priorities are. Helps you make decisions about how you should spend your time. And to do those things which you know that you can do. There are some things that we know that we can't do. Sometimes they're important things and we take them on and we can't do them. And that brings us to the third point, is what is it within us that feeds that desire to take on another job? You know, what is it within us that seems to say, I've got to do that? What's unresolved within us? And then don't make a decision on the spur of the moment. And then suggest a more appropriate person to do the job. So don't just say, I can't do it. Maybe you could ask so-and-so to do it, because actually they do that really well. It's great to pass the buck, isn't it? And then I came across this very helpful piece of material, because it's the times in the Gospels where we see that Jesus said no. I'd never come across this before. We might be able to think of a few of them, but actually there are a lot of them. I just want to tell you a few, because actually family and work are at the heart of some of these, which is where we find it very difficult. So we see in John 2:1-4, for example, he said no to his mother when she was fussing around him about the wine. He said no to his brothers in John 7:1-6, when they wanted him to go to Jerusalem. Didn't want him to go to Jerusalem, but he knew he needed to be there. He said no to a close friend. Martha was his close friend, and Martha said, tell Mary to come and help me. But he wanted to correct Martha and say, no, Mary's chosen the best part. And then an enthusiastic follower, if you remember that man who had been released from all of those demons, Legion, his name was Legion. And at the end of it, he was just so full of wanting to serve Jesus, he said, oh Jesus, I need to come with you now. And Jesus said, no, you're not going to come with me. Just stay put, tell people here. And then there was a strong personality. In this case, it's a woman. There aren't many strong women personalities, are there really? But just wanted to check you were still with me at this point. And this is the mother of James and John. And Lord, when you get to your kingdom, my two boys on the right and the left. Surely that's the place for my two boys. Jesus says, no, not my responsibility to say and make that sort of decision. Then powerful critics. These are the Pharisees. And they say, give us a sign. But he doesn't subject himself to their sign. He just says other things which should have been assigned to them. Satan himself, who are asking Jesus to turn the bread into wine and the like. And to himself, when he's in Gethsemane, and he says, Father, what does he say in Gethsemane? Take this cup, but not my will, but yours be done. I won't go through all of the rest, but they're in the notes if you want to get them, to an easier way, to the demands of others, to busyness, to opportunity and need, to fame and power, to late nights, to flattery, to endless work. So within the relationship that he had with God, his Father, and a huge commitment to people, Jesus knew how to say no in a variety of different settings. Why are we talking about this? Because we are clarifying why we are here. And then there's one other thing about what we are doing when we stop. And that's receiving strength for the next part of the journey. Receiving strength for the next part of the journey. As we stop, God imparts fresh life to us. And so we can function in his energy and not the energy of the flesh. Now, I don't know about you, But this is how I try to do this. I find time in the mornings. Now you'll say, well, of course you can, Peter. You've got nothing else to do all day other than that, haven't you? I've always tried to live within the working life as you live within your working life. And I see times with God as times before work, as opposed to part of my work. And so I will endeavour to think through the day that's happening. And I'll think about the people that I'm going to meet that day, or perhaps meetings that I'm responsible for, or things that I'm having to prepare. And as I think through those things, I'll give them to God, and I'll say, Lord, help me with this. And when I see so-and-so, Lord, would you give me something that's right for them? And I want to live in the energy of your spirit of these things. Otherwise, we can just live so much out of ourselves. God's trying to teach us to live out of a place of rest in him and to do the things that he wants us to do. It's also possible to receive spiritual strength as we are doing what God wants us to do. It's not all about being trained. Because if we're doing things that are in his package for us, there's something about the life of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Although preaching can be tiring, it also can be energizing. So we're finding strength from God in doing the things that God's intending us to do. Of course we need sleep at night, of course we need to rest. But it's something about resting also in God. So, these talks are not to make us feel any more guilty than we feel most of the time. They're to help us to relate to him well and to see those things where we can be fruitful in our Christian service.